podcast. My name is William Bibbiani.
Stop.
You're Whitney Seibold.
No.
We're the B-Movies podcast.
Quit your fussing.
I'm doing a joke. Do you see the joke I'm doing?
Woo.
Pretty good joke, right?
Welcome to Linoleum Knife. Oh, I get it, because you're saying
it's
the wrong
joke.
Name.
I've been making a joke.
Funny.
Everyone loves jokes, and especially when I make them, because I'm so very funny.
Hilarious.
Howdy. It's part two of Linoleum Knife. There was an urgent message delivered unto us last night asking for an emergency podcast.
We had been on the fence yesterday about whether or not to do an Oscar follow-up, and usually it's like...
I was like, no, it's going to be boring. Who cares?
The Oscars, whatever.
It was the opposite of boring.
Oh, my. This is what live television is all about. A historic catastrophe. So, as you know... last night's program finished with Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway coming on stage.
Do you have to tell people what happened?
Well,
do we think anyone listening doesn't know what
happened? Okay, everybody listening today knows, but, you know, people go back and listen to old episodes. They might need a refresher.
Okay, sure.
Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway stepped out on stage celebrating the 50th anniversary of Bonnie and Clyde to present Best Picture. And what we now know is that PricewaterhouseCoopers had a stack of envelopes on both sides of the stage. And they were supposed to keep the current category on top. And apparently Mr. Beatty was given the Best Actress category. Envelope, and so when they got out to the middle of the stage, he opened it and he looked at it and he thought, that's not right, and it was getting uncomfortable, and then he hands it to Faye Dunaway,
who good trick
kind of looks at it and
good,
just
good trick to play on her.
Yeah, I know, poor Faye Dunaway. She's the real victim in all this. She sees that it says Emma Stone, La La Land, and just because the moment has gone on for so long and the tension is palpable, she just says La La Land.
Gladiator.
Again, not her fault, not his fault. So the La La Land people come on stage.
So they had two envelope. What, I don't know. You know what? Here's the thing. I don't actually know what happened.
Mm.
You have to.
No, that's seriously what happened. He was handed the wrong envelope.
They
were coming. Because
they had two of them.
Yeah, there were.
And why did they have two of them?
Because there was one for each side of the stage where people entered. And most of the people apparently entered from stage left.
But not old Snagglepuss.
But Beatty and Dunaway came in from stage right, and they got given the wrong envelope. And since La La Land had already won quite a few awards that night, including Best Director and Best Score, and
everybody thought it was a lock.
And so, you know, they played the music and the announcers talking about it was a record-breaking number of something, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And everybody's giving their exultant speeches. And then this is where it gets interesting.
My favorite.
I want somebody to do... I want an instant replay with, like, people drawing circles on the screen like John Madden.
That's what everyone in our living room was doing last night.
No, I know. But I literally want, like, okay, now see, this producer enters from off.
We watched that. You know what's good about being old and still having TiVo?
Yeah, kids.
You can rewind it and
pour over
and
every
keep detail. And that's what basically on stage we did. Watching the faces, first of all, watching the faces is the best part.
Yeah.
Because you see the producers get these instantly angry producer faces on, like they're on set and something's going wrong and it's time to yell at somebody.
Exactly. Find me a PA to chew out. Who can I fire?
And then that guy, Justin Horowitz, He kind of stepped in and was like, okay, wait. My favorite was the guy, the producer who gave, he knew they had lost and he still gave his speech.
Yes.
And then he said, oh, and we lost.
That was, well, it's like, you know, think about it.
That's funny.
Yeah, you're on stage. The world is watching. The mic is live. It's like, yeah, why not say hi to mom? I might never be up here again. I shouldn't be up here now.
People are getting a little too crazy with praising these guys, though.
Yes.
The headline of the Washington Post this morning is, La La Land producer Jordan Horowitz is the truth teller we need right now. Like,
what else was he supposed to do?
What did you think he was going
to
do?
Grab his Oscar and run off stage?
You have to, like, get a taser to get it out of his hands?
No, they were very classy about it.
He did the only reasonable, rational human being thing, and he said, we have to stop, and here's the card.
Yes. No, really, Moonlight won. But actually, somebody had dug up a tweet from way earlier in award season,
yes,
where somebody was asking him about awards and competition and blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, with Moonlight, it helps that, you know, we love each other and we love each other's work.
Right.
You know, and the thing is...
No, they seemed all very friendly and happy for each other.
Yeah. I mean, you get through an award season and there's certain people...
You just see again and again.
Yeah. Like, think about it. Like, last year, I'm sure, like... a couple of years ago, I'm sure J.K. Simmons and Patricia Arquette probably got to know each other well because they were winning everything.
Yes.
And they were at all the same dinners and all the same award shows. You know, so yeah, I'm sure Team La La Land and Team Moonlight, you know, from Telluride onward have been like, oh, you again, hello. So that's just how it goes. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday. I like La La Land, but Moonlight was my favorite film of 2016.
I just want to reiterate. Even though you were jumping on me yesterday, I like La La Land.
Okay. Fair enough.
I need to say it one more time.
I know. People on Twitter thought you were enjoying this too much. But the crazy thing is, in my adult life, my favorite film of the year never
wins.
Ever wins Best Picture. To the point where I'm thinking, like, I'm a curse. Like, I mean, Brokeback Mountain and Boyhood.
You're a curse in a lot of different
ways.
This
is true. I don't know. I'm not gonna give that up. No, but both Brokeback Mountain and Boyhood, I thought, oh, this is going to be the year it happens, and nope. So I'm kind of stunned that my streak is broken. But my most retweeted tweet of last night was, let's take a moment to note that a low-budget black gay movie influenced by Wong Kar-wai and Hu Hsia-hsien just won Best Picture.
Oh, while we're on that subject, just for a second.
Yes.
And then we'll go back to the chaos on stage, because that was the best part. I think we mentioned this once before on the show, about sort of what Barry Jenkins took from other films and used in Moonlight. And there was a program at Lincoln Center in January or February where Barry Jenkins showed the films that influenced him in the making of Moonlight. And I'm going to read you the titles because all of these films are things that you should see, and at least one of them is something I need to see because I haven't.
Okay.
let me get this down here. Charles Burnett's Killer of Sheep.
Great movie.
Here's the one I haven't seen. Carlos Regatta's Silent Light.
Don't know it.
I have not seen. Nagisa Oshima's Gohato. Which is from, like, 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Claire Denis' Beau Travail.
Right.
Which I've talked about Beau Travail almost as many times as I've talked about O Hussard Balthazar.
And if you're living in Los Angeles, they are showing it at Cinefamily.
They're showing Beau Travail at Cinefamily.
In 35mm.
Right now.
I need to go see it, because I have not.
Wong Kar-wai's Happy Together.
Yes.
And Hou Hsiao-hsien's Three Times, which is the triptych structure that he used. So anyway, those films, if you've seen Moonlight, or even if you haven't, that's a nice little seminar on how filmmakers steal from each other. I like that word. I like the idea of theft.
Matt actually always likes to quote somebody, Picasso or somebody, who said, good artists borrow, great artists steal.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's perfectly reasonable and legitimate to do this. So back to the stage. My favorite thing, one of my favorite things was watching the stagehands and the producers or directors or whoever was on stage with the headsets and multiple red envelopes by the time it was all over, running back and forth and people taking things out of each other's hands. And some, like, heads are turning like, what? What's going on?
And the slow dawning of realization on the faces of, like, Emma Stone and Damien Chazelle.
That was my favorite thing. Emma Stone, you can see, if you go back to the footage, you see her mouthing the words, "Oh my God." And then, almost immediately, and this may be an actor thing, or it may just be how she is, and I would generously like to think that this is just how she is, she immediately gets excited. Like, there's something exciting happening now.
Well, yeah, she's in the middle of a moment. I mean, this is historical.
There's something exciting happening now, and she walks across the stage behind everyone and starts motioning
to the moonlight
people, come up, and I just thought that was charming.
Because
furthermore, one more thing about Emma Stone. Sure. There is a fantastic Twitter account that you need to follow called Pixelated Boat.
Okay.
And they do, whoever Pixelated Boat is, they do a lot of weird things on Twitter. And there's a clip of Emma Stone, not a clip, there's a photo of Emma Stone accepting her Oscar for Best Actress. And the caption, the quote, "I dedicate this award to the real heroes, the uncaptured serial killers of America. I hope they continue to evade the police and commit murders for many years to come." I don't know.
And then read the caption that they put under it.
Oh, I've long since lost.
Well, and then the caption was like, "Typical Hollywood liberals out of touch with America."
Well, that was on the Facebook account.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, on the Twitter account, it's just that. But that's my favorite meme to come out of the event. I love the producer who also, you could see, mouth the word,
Up until that point, it was an okay Oscar show. I thought that Kimmel was actually pretty funny.
Not enough protesting. It was good, classy protesting.
Yes, it was understated.
Yeah.
And I think, as has been pointed out by Ingu Kang and several people online, enough with the making fun of unusual names, Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, that's actually racist.
That is actually racist.
Yeah. You start making fun of... Here's the thing. White male comedians no longer make fun of black names.
Unless you're Mahershala Ali, because that was kind of a running thing last night.
Oh, did he do that? Oh, he did do that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm wrong. I was about to say, they don't make fun of black names anymore. They make fun of Asian names.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was crappy. But Mrs. Lincoln, apart from that, I thought actually pretty funny.
He must have been getting more spaghetti when he was making fun of Mahershala Ali's name.
I think he dialed back his own presence, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, when like Neil Patrick Harris kind of like, "Hey, check out my magic tricks."
Right.
You know, that was like, oh, God, just get off stage and let's move this thing
Although
along.
I did like the intrusion of busting Matt Damon's balls.
That was a
Because that's gold like mine. That's like a years long gag that's been going on.
Yeah, that's been going on forever.
That even was part of the whole Sarah Silverman making the video, "I'm effing Matt Damon."
Yes. Yeah, they this is a long, I mean, he's been doing it on a show for ages, the joke being that Matt Damon is basically
the Lindsey Buckingham yep. of the Jimmy Kimmel Show, the guest who's always there and then never actually gets to go on,
right?
But yeah, the We Bought a Zoo thing I thought was genius.
Oh yeah, speaking, I'm sorry, one more Twitter account you need to follow.
Oh yes,
and I have mentioned this before on the show, but if you didn't hear me say it once before, go to the Twitter account called We Bought a Zoo. Mm. And start from the beginning. Don't start at the top and work your way backwards. Start from the beginning. Scroll down as long as it takes. It was a Twitter account that lasted several months until the release of We Bought a Zoo. Yeah. And it will make you very happy if you do this. All right, continue.
I forgot what I was going to say, but anyway, that stuff was great. The whole like playing him off while he was a presenter, like that was genius, you know. And Damon played along with it really well. As for the show itself, mostly predictable. It's so rare that's part of what made the whole ending so fascinating was that Moonlight was sort of, or that La La Land was kind of the fairly safe, predictable win.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was a thought that Moonlight might sneak in, but you know, that would have made a director picture split and that, but
I like the lady who read the Asghar Farhadi statement.
Who is apparently the first Iranian who went into space.
Yes. She's an astronaut.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I heard somebody saying online that they thought that, you know, that moment didn't pop the way that it should have, but I thought it was fine.
Well, it's because it wasn't incendiary.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like, you know, she didn't. You know, he didn't send.
It was like calm and rational.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of like who my metaphor is. He didn't send blank up there to get it. You know what I'm saying?
Satchin Littlefeather.
I was thinking somebody more contemporary and screamy.
That's from the 70s.
Yes.
Michael Moore.
Thank you.
He didn't send Michael Moore.
He didn't send Michael Moore up to get it.
Right.
But no, I thought that was a good moment. And there were a lot of sort of subtle references throughout to things like Gael Garcia Bernal's intro thing, talking about being against walls.
Everybody who said anything negative about
his orangeness,
that monster president, they did so very
classily.
Very, very, very restrained. It was very restrained.
Yeah.
And you know me, I like a little mayhem. I had to wait till the end of the show to get the mayhem that I require. But, you know, I wanted everybody to get up there and say Asghar Farhadi's name.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Including that little kid in Lion. Like, I wanted Jimmy Kimmel to hoist that kid up like he did with the Lion King and call out the Mike and Ikes. And I just wanted the kid to yell Asghar Farhadi.
Right.
No one did this.
No.
Do you want to hear my favorite conspiracy theory?
Ooh.
Well, let me say it differently. There are conspiracy theories now that it was an engineered stunt to draw people's attention back to the Academy Awards because the ratings go down.
Oh, brother.
Every year. Oh, I'm seeing this on Facebook. Uh-huh. Like, people that I know, friends of mine on Facebook,
are
talking about it being a conspiracy theory. And I'm not jumping in on this because I first of all, I don't ever discuss conspiracy theories with people because I just don't, they don't really exist. They require too much engineering.
Well, that, and plus, like, the Academy would then have to purposefully embarrass
itself,
a set of filmmakers, and then in turn itself for having done so.
And it doesn't seem to me to be, knowing what I know about how things work behind the scenes of producing television shows and movies from friends who work behind the scenes.
Right.
You're exhausted, right? You're running around trying to make sure everything's going right.
Mm-hmm.
There's no incentive.
Right, to get it wrong.
For you to even appear to be getting it wrong. There's no incentive for that. Because you're going to your next gig.
Yeah.
After that. And you're hoping someone's going to hire you for your next gig after that.
Right.
It's not like there's a crew that just does the Academy Awards and they are the same people every year.
Yeah.
You're going to your next gig. And if your last gig was a fiasco, they're going to say, so what was your involvement in that?
Yeah.
On your next job interview.
Why didn't you keep that from happening?
And so it doesn't make a lick of sense for there to be anything conspiratorial about this at all.
My prediction for next year's Oscars is that they're going to reinstate the classic, let's bring out the people from PricewaterhouseCoopers with the briefcases. Because suddenly they're going to be real important. We just remembered that they exist because they made a mistake for the first time in 89 years.
I wish Moonlight had had more time to do their acceptance speeches and really have their moment.
Sure, of course.
I've been reading on Twitter people who are sort of angry on behalf of Moonlight for that and speculating, and here we go, correctly, that today's narrative is going to be about white graciousness instead of black triumph.
Right.
And while I do understand that, and there is some of that happening, Washington Post.
Yes.
Here's what it really means. Ain't nobody going to forget next year who won.
Exactly. I was thinking that too, because before the show this year, Gary said, what won Best Picture last year? What won Best Picture
last year? And the whole room sat there like duh.
He was like, don't Google it. It was...
And the answer makes this room's response even stupider, because... Half of the people in our living room last night knows someone who was in Spotlight.
Yes, I know, and I was like, oh, of course, Spotlight. Like, how did I forget that?
I don't know if Sean and Matt know him, but you and Gary are friends with Michael Cyril Creighton, who's in Spotlight.
I know,
and you both forgot. Could
remember, but yeah, I was thinking that too. Nobody is going to forget the Moonlight one this past year, and somebody was saying, "Oh, it's a shame that you know Moonlight's always going to be remembered for this moment." I'm like, no, it's not. I mean, at the moment, yes, it's all we're talking about.
Right now,
and
yeah.
It'll always be kind of this interesting footnote. It'll be one of those nutty things that happen. And, you know, it's sadly...
This guarantees its memorability.
Yeah, it's now sadly going to be part of, like, you know, Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway's obits, probably.
Also, it's historical because it's the first LGBT film-themed film to ever win Best Picture.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I think eventually that's going to be a footnote, and people are going to it has the trophy. It won, you know, and that's what counts. And yeah, it is a groundbreaking Oscar movie in so many ways.
It's the kind of movie that I complain about never even being nominated for Best Picture.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's the kind of movie I complain about never. I don't even dream about a film like this winning.
No,
I think about a film like this as being ignored by middle-of-the-road film critics groups, by the Academy Awards, and somehow...
I remember...
Was Ava DuVernay their publicist?
You have to wonder.
She gets things done.
Yeah, no kidding. No, I remember seeing this...
Did she just take that gig? Like, I know I'm in the middle of directing A Wrinkle in Time, but let me work on your publicity
your
campaign.
Your Oscar campaign.
You. Yeah.
No, I... Because, you know, the raves out of Toronto and Telluride, and everybody's talking about, like, oh, Oscar. And I saw the film, and I was like, I love this movie. You really think the Academy Awards are going to acknowledge something this cool and different and poetic and oblique and elliptical and, you know, like, and yeah, they did. Go figure. And, you know, and it's weird because in a way this is the end of the, I mean, it's not the end of the Oscar so white story. Obviously that's going to be an ongoing thing, but it's the end of resolving what happened last year. Like what happened in the last 12 months in terms of the aggressive attempt to switch up the membership, to make it younger, to make it more diverse, the whole roller coaster that was Birth of a Nation.
Yes.
You know, like all that stuff. And the thing is, if you know, and again, I never say, oh, the Academy wanted to send a message, because that assumes they all gather in a room and collude, and it's all, you know, it's 1,000 people voting in their own, you know, office or condo or whatever. If a majority of people wanted to make the statement of, like, look how much we like black movies, the safe choice would have been Hidden Figures.
Right.
Because it's a hit, and it is...
Everyone loves that.
It is narratively...
Moonlight has made $20 million.
Which is amazing.
It was cost, you know, like two or something.
Yeah.
But it made 20.
Yeah.
And now it'll make more.
Much, I hope, yeah. Although it's now streaming and on DVD, but... It's still money, exactly. But yeah, but like Hidden Figures would have been the sort of safe, kind of traditional narrative bet. And they went with the gay, you know, elliptical one, you know, so yep. that's exciting. And A24 now has a Best Picture Oscar.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal for them. They're like a relatively new company. They've only been around for like 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And very boutique-y, but they have, whoever is running that joint has such great taste.
Generally, yes.
I mean, yeah, not every single one. And I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that they put out that it's some sort of, there's a deal involved or whatever, yeah. You know. Yeah, not every single movie that has their brand on it is great. But a lot of them are. I mean, a couple of years ago, I remember something like half or maybe even six of my top 10 lists were all A24 movies.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they put out Lock and Under the Skin and Obvious yeah. Child and A Most Violent Year, like all these movies, you know, a couple years ago. And since then, it's just they are a reliable go-to for good stuff. And so this makes them a bigger deal. Like, this is the kind of thing that, you know, the reason the Oscars exist in a lot of ways is to build careers and to burnish the reputations of the companies that put these movies out.
I need to talk about outfits.
Oh, by all means.
And hair. I want everyone to leave Dakota Johnson alone.
Has she been getting it on the internet? Oh,
yeah. Yeah. She did wear a thing that you can't sit down in.
Right.
Because you're gonna that material holds a wrinkle.
Uh-huh.
And it did have a bizarre set of details from top to bottom.
Including her hair.
And her hair was certainly like, it's 1971 and I live on a Worms Are the Protein of the Future commune. But to me...
Hail the rise of the glorious chairman.
To me, that kind of presentation at the Academy Awards is... like someone giving me candy. Not in an ironic way, not in a ooh, you screwed up and ha-ha kind of way. I think weird outfits and weird hair,
yeah,
really being distinctive,
yeah,
and not caring, that's my favorite thing.
There's a place for that, and the Oscar red carpet.
That place is in front of my eyeballs.
Yeah.
I love that. I loved all the long sleeve, weird, like, skin tight, like sheaths that women were wearing. Like Ruth Negga had one of those on.
Mm.
And who came in with like the gold little things around her neck? God, I'm forgetting.
Remember.
But she looked great. Naomi Harris's dress was strange. It looked like it was made out of white plastic. Huh. And it was like the front was short, it was like a mullet. Like, the front was short and the back of this weird train that was, like, flat and rectangular.
Oh, wow.
A freaky dress.
I liked Amy.
But like a tube top, like a white plastic tube top of some sort. Yeah, it was very weird.
I liked Amy Adams's, oh, you didn't nominate me, huh?
Check it. Yeah, the old school I'm being glamorous stuff, yeah. Like Amy Adams looked amazing. Charlize Theron looked like, you said it on the couch, she looked like a gleaming vintage Cadillac.
Yeah. Viola Davis.
Viola Davis looked cool. Scarlett Johansson.
Emma Stone's.
Looked amazing. Yeah, whatever that thing she had on in that weird, like, metallic metal belt wrapped around it. So, and all the guys in those velvet tuxedo jackets.
Yeah.
Different colors, purple and blue and stuff all over the place. That's good stuff.
Here's the thing. Did any white guys wear a bold tux color, or was that strictly like Mahershala Ali, Sam Jackson, The Rock? I mean, they all look great, but I'm thinking, like, are they the only
white guys do that? I don't know if the white guys do that.
I'm thinking, like, can a white guy even pull that look off?
We didn't notice it, so it probably didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling wore ruffles. Come on.
I'm into it.
That feels like the moment of that being a bold choice has passed, and now it's just kind of...
I don't care.
Now it's just kind of sarcastic.
I don't care. The very best dressed human beings of the Academy Awards of all time.
Yeah.
That short little thingy Barbra Streisand wore that time. I guess when she won.
Oh, the pajamas?
Whatever that was. No. I was... Yeah, the pajamas.
Yeah.
Liz Taylor, in that thing that was like super cleavage.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was cool. That was in the 60s.
Yeah.
I've only seen photos. I wasn't alive, you know, to watch that.
Lizzie Gardner.
Oh, the costume designer in the Amex.
Yes.
Dress. I forgot about her. But Bjork.
No question.
Cher.
Yes.
Cher every time she shows up. But except for that, well, no, even, you know what? I'll give you Cher. Even the Titanic year when she had that bizarre hat on.
Oh, yeah, that was a little.
That was her pre, like, she was what in Tarnation before that was even a meme with that hat. But the thing with the black headdress, she looked like a giant spider.
Yes, that was the year she won, right?
That was the year she won.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And whatever she was wearing the year, she said, as you see, I got my manual of how to dress like a serious actress.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
Oh, here was a highlight for me. I didn't know that Katherine Johnson was alive.
Yeah, she's like 97 or something.
But yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's
very
cool.
Very old. Okay, so then Halle Berry's wig.
Wow.
She did not come for your approval. Anyone's approval.
Especially not the person sitting behind her.
She's not interested in what you have to say about her wig. Halle Berry understands the wig game and played it with a perfect hand last night. Because
while sitting next to Meryl Streep.
That thing on Halle Berry's head was glorious. And off kilter and asymmetrical and living its own best life.
I think it should have had like a pair of cat ears in there too. Just what the
heck? It didn't need it. It was a perfect Renaissance halo.
Raphaelite.
I love her so much.
She was amazing. She looked great. I liked the Charlize Theron, Shirley MacLaine moment. That was sweet. And I loved when Warren Beatty comes out on stage, they cut to Shirley MacLaine. Like,
she's waving
at him.
Like, hi.
Hey, bro.
Okay, there are more things.
Mm-hmm.
There was another mistake.
Oh, yes. Oh,
made.
Man.
Australian costume designer. Janet Patterson died last year.
Right.
And she was part of the In Memorial.
In Memoriam.
In Memoriam, sorry. And so they got her name right. They spelled it right. But the photo that they used was of Australian film producer Jan Chapman, who is very much alive.
Yes.
And was surprised to find out that she was dead. That actually happened.
It was news to her.
And that is, my phone is being...
Who is calling you at this hour?
You know who's calling me right now?
Who?
Payroll.
Ah.
They want me to file payroll today.
Should I have you to pause or can you do that?
Okay. No, you know why? I don't answer when they call.
Because?
First of all, I'm too important. Secondly... The payroll company assigns me a new payroll person like every 3 weeks.
Well, of course, we're their smallest clients.
I don't care. I have needs, and they are the same needs every time I call payroll. And so I finally found a payroll specialist who helps me perfectly. If I have X amount of money to work with for the payroll period, she cuts those checks equally. And gets it to the penny.
Okay.
To the penny.
All right, nobody...
And the new guys that they push on me all the time, that doesn't happen.
So you call her rather than...
So I call her directly. And I have a payroll specialist, an official payroll specialist with the company that I've never spoken to. And he calls me and he leaves me messages. Hey, this is blah, blah, blah. I'm here to do payroll. And I'm like, I'm never speaking to you. I'm calling the lady that I know who does everything perfectly. So far, I have not gotten in trouble for this.
All right.
And I intend not to get in trouble for it. And if they do come to me, I'm going to say, listen, the day everyone at your payroll company can do it exactly like Lady X over here, then you come to me. And now you know a little more about our lives.
I know. Isn't that fascinating? Mahershala Ali, I believe the first
Muslim winner.
Acting winner or anything winner. What are we... What was the...
The first Muslim person to get an Academy Award.
In any... Really?
At least acting.
Like, not even in the foreign film category?
Well, maybe... Well, no, no, no. Obviously, in the foreign film category, someone... I mean, Asghar Farhadi, he's... Right. Is he? I'm sure he's Muslim, right? He's Iranian.
Yeah. Well, I make no assumptions, but yeah, in the acting category, that sounds like that would be true.
Yeah. Someone. My favorite thing last night was to look in on right wing people,
who were of course watching every.
Who were hate watching all of it?
Yeah.
And my favorite was the lady. I don't know her at all. She's like. When the salesman won. And I was very happy that it won.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Erdmann is a better movie than The Salesman, but I was happy The Salesman won because it needed to win symbolically.
Yeah.
And this woman was like, I'll never see that. I'm not giving money to Iran. And I'm like, are you people the stupidest human beings alive? Answer, obviously, yes. But like, There is no fixing the horribleness of these folks. There's no reason, there's no rational thought, there's nothing you can say to them to make them have concern for anything outside of themselves.
What depressed me was that article about how, where they went to CPAC and tried to explain to people that Trump's travel... So far, like in the first month, was equivalent to about a year's worth of Obama travel.
Yeah.
And they just weren't having it.
They wouldn't believe the numbers. Yeah.
They didn't trust it. They knew that was a fix, that it couldn't be possibly true.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how do you talk to anybody anymore?
No, you don't. You don't. You just get rid of them. Eliminate them from your life. So here's my other favorite thing from the right. I went to this super hardcore evangelical Christian account.
Uh-huh.
This guy who's a public speaker, and I can't remember his name because I've already deleted it, but are you aware of the evangelical Christian concept of, and this is in the Bible, spirit of confusion?
No.
It's a thing, apparently, that if you are sort of, you know, dancing with the dark side.
Temptation.
That God will allow... And I don't know the math of this, but God will allow Satan to produce a spirit of confusion in you.
Uh-huh.
So, this guy decided that because the Oscars were mocking Trump, and here's the quote, God's anointed one. That the La La Land mix-up at the end was because God allowed Satan to inject a spirit of confusion
into the Oscars.
God. Now, if God were going to allow Satan to infiltrate the Oscars with a spirit of confusion, wouldn't he have given it to Hidden Figures instead of Moonlight?
Or Hacksaw Ridge
instead of Moonlight? Because Moonlight is about the gays.
Oh.
This is theologically unsound.
Speaking of the Christians...
In case you're a right-wing Christian listening to this, your people are theologically unsound.
Speaking of loony Christians with a boner for the Oscars, talk about the woman who commented on your Facebook
thing. I like the idea of loony Christians with boners.
Oh, they got them. they hate them, but they got them. Tell them about the woman who commented on your Facebook thread about...
So our friend Anne Fishbein,
yes,
she's a photographer. She mostly, around the city, photographs food, the restaurant pieces, and, you know, they do profiles on chefs. She's there. She photographs food. One of the many things she photographs, but that's a lot of what she does. So she did a piece for the LA Weekly where she photographed all the food they were making for the governor's ball. I posted it on my Facebook timeline. And a woman I do not know, never heard from, she's not my friend, she doesn't follow me on Facebook, I don't know her at all,
She clearly did like a search to find.
She did a search for this, yeah, just so she could go.
She's going around writing this on a bunch of
firebomb people's pages.
She just wrote the Oscars.
Well, that's where they all drink and smoke their dope and have orgies with each other.
Yes, at the governor's ball. Everybody knows the orgies take place after the Vanity Fair party
at the Chateau Marmont.
Get it right.
You get over to the Meryl Streep flogging suite. She will take care of you.
Well, I'm so happy for the Moonlight people. I love that. As much as the Oscars annoy me and disappoint me and are often a giant waste of time, Moonlight is now going to go before more eyeballs because of this anointing. You know, there are people who, you know, in the same way that there are like Disney completists, there are Best Picture completists, you know, and they'll see a movie for no other reason than it won Best Picture.
Right.
You know, even though that means they had to sit through, you know, the greatest show on earth and around the world in 80 days, and they will watch Moonlight, and lots of people will watch Moonlight. And that is like, it's a seal of approval from Hollywood. And even if it becomes a thing, in the newly revived culture wars of, oh, well, of course those heathens in Hollywood would, you know, blah, 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 the black gay movie, you know, but it's like, well, fine. Then, you know, they use their powers for good for once.
Yeah.
If this is a statement, it's a great statement on behalf of a great movie, so I'll allow it.
Oh, you know who else was great besides me for making such nice...
Yes. Although...
Linguine with the carbonara and the thing. Although what? What do you got beef about the dinner last night?
Only that you didn't use the brownie pan that gives you all the edges.
Oh my God, let that go. I have used that brownie pan many, many times, and sometimes I don't use it.
It's been a long time.
You're insane.
When's the last time you made brownies in that
pan? It's been a while since I've made brownies.
Exactly. Period. That's my point.
But the last time I did make brownies, I used that pan.
Yes.
I just happened not to use that pan this time. Listen, it's the zigzag pan
that gives you
specially made for brownies and lasagna, so you always get a crispy edge.
Yes.
It's a great pan.
Our sister-in-law gave it to us.
Yes, it's a wonderful pan. I love that pan. I use that pan a lot. And yesterday, I didn't use it.
I will never mention it again.
I should be arrested and put in jail.
The brownies were great.
They were great.
I got no complaints. I just
How did they
surprised.
Taste in your ungrateful mouth?
Delicious.
Yeah.
The pasta was great. I thought carbonara was a cream sauce, or is that wrong?
It can be.
Okay.
Traditionally, you know.
But no, the garlic-infused olive oil was great. Very tasty.
I did that.
I liked it.
Thank you. A little praise from me.
Yes.
The girl from Moana.
Oh, poor thing.
She, again, here's another exercise in...
That's how you know you're a trooper.
Indefatigability.
Yeah, you're a trooper. She got hit in the head.
She's up there.
By
a
wave.
First movie.
Yeah.
She's, what, 16, 17
years old?
16,
17.
Singing at the Oscars for the first time in her life. Never been to the Oscars before. Never been in a movie before. Sings her head off.
Has to follow Lin-Manuel Miranda.
That's easy to do when he's doing a goofy rap.
I know, but everybody loves that for some reason.
I know. But... She got hit in the head by one of the flaggers.
Yes.
The color guard was on stage being the ocean
right.
with blue flags. And she got bonked in the head. And she didn't miss a beat.
Yep.
She kept singing. Her hair's all messed up. The flag's like plonk. it's a gif already. And she was fantastic.
She soldiered on. She persisted.
Indeed. She persisted. And I loved the cruel, cruel Sting tweets.
Oh, God. They were so mean.
I was crying laughing last night. All the meanest tweets about Sting. One even from Yola Tango. Yola Tango is dragging Sting on Twitter, saying, is this song based on a receipt?
Which I had to explain the joke.
Which you had to explain to me because I wasn't watching the commercials. But. Speaking of commercials, that Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg commercial, that was nice.
Yeah,
it was no Carly Rae and Lil Yachty for Target.
I know. I there's part of me that wants Seth Rogen to be too cool to take the Walmart paycheck. He is not too cool to take the Walmart paycheck.
I think. You know, it's weird. I think about you and me in the same situation. If for some reason Walmart swooped in and said, you know what, guys, we really want to rebrand ourselves. And
your podcast really hitting the sweet spot of our demographic.
Yeah, your podcast is really what we want to sponsor. We want to underwrite your whole podcast. Like, you never have to do another Patreon thing again. You don't need subscribers. You don't need listener-supported radio here. You know, you don't need to behave like your public radio anymore. We want you to be part of the Walmart family. You're in. Mm. Here's the contract. You're going to get paid like $500,000 a year. What do we say? Now, in my righteous idea head,
right?
I think, hey, Walmart, you could eat the poop coming out of my butt.
Take that $500,000 and pay all the people that you aren't giving overtime to.
That's in my head. I would say that, and then it might be tempting, but I would like to think that I would tell them to go F themselves.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You don't know until.
Or do I take the money and go give it to like the trans lifeline?
Right. Yeah. Do a great
slick. Or do a free clinic in Arkansas that hires that where Walmart employees have to go.
Right.
Because they don't have health care.
Exactly. I don't know. I can't say with 100% certainty that I would take the higher.
Then I would have to.
I think
I would have to not say horrible things about Walmart.
I think maybe the way
destroyed my hometown. By the way,
the which one?
Roswell.
Yeah. I think the way to go on that one is to figure out a way in which to monetize having said no to them. You know, like,
right?
That you had the chance and didn't take it, and then use that as a way to, like, you know, attract more, you know,
a better advertiser to come along,
yeah, or something,
and do the thing. Yeah.
All right, fine. I'll let Seth Rogen off the hook. Although, does he need the money from Walmart?
No, he didn't need the money. That's why I don't understand why you know, he's not fully informed about everything.
Maybe he didn't know.
Nobody is.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not saying it's an excuse.
No.
But there are reasons people do things. They come after the fact, they're like, oh, I didn't know this company was so evil.
Right.
Maybe he didn't know the company was evil.
Maybe.
I don't know. Furthermore, I don't care what Seth Rogen does with his anything.
Fine.
He makes me laugh. I don't care what he does.
Fair enough.
I would like it if he didn't do it for Walmart.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
That's it. We're done.
All right. Well,
a little shorty one.
Yes. So, you know, you asked for it. You got it.
For us is under an hour.
Exactly. Thank you for listening. If you have not already, go to our Patreon page and keep us from having to take money from Walmart.
Because
they're not
coming. They're knocking on the door right now.
You never know.
They sent over a car to take us to the office of Walmart.
It was a gift basket full of like 409 products.
Cookie bouquets. Pretty good cookies.
Patreon.com/linoleumknife. You can write us at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com, which is also where you can PayPal us to get one of our shirts.
T-shirt.
Black shirts with linoleum knife in white letters designed by Graham Colbeans of Massive.
That is correct.
We have all the sizes. They're $22.
We got lady sizes.
If you live outside the U.S., email us first and we'll let you know how much extra you have to pay for postage.
I need 10 people to buy a t-shirt because I really want to get your laugh-a-doos paid.
Okay. Yeah. That would be great. So yes.
10 of you go buy a t-shirt, please.
That would be lovely.
And that way I'll pay Alonzo's dues in the LA Film Critics Association.
So we can keep those screeners coming.
So because we're late paying your dues.
Yes.
I still haven't done it. I was supposed to do it in January.
Yeah.
It's almost March.
Actually, December.
I'll get around to it.
I know you will.
But, you know, 10 of y'all will go buy t-shirts.
That makes things much easier. That makes things
immediately easy. We are begging for specific amounts of money now.
And as always, thank you, Blue, for our theme
music. I just had that idea off the top of my head. If 10 of you buy t-shirts, then we pay Alonzo's laughing dues.
Blutopia.com. All right, we'll be back next weekend with more reviews. And until then,
goodbye.